Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
The games are only half of it.
Mads, you loser!
Toucher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak's the worst.
I was super, super ecstatic to win one for Cleveland because of the 52-year drought. Like, I was ecstatic. Like, obviously, I showed the first wave of emotion was when y'all, everyone saw me crying. Like, that was all for 52 years of everything in sports going on in Cleveland. And then after I stopped, I was like, that one right there made you the greatest player of all time.
98.5, the Sports Hub. That was LeBron James on a show that he created. And he said that he was the greatest of all time. Okay. So that's weird for someone probably to say, but it happens. He's moved out to L.A., and there's no doubt that he is trying to create an empire. He'll probably succeed in doing that in terms of getting into the entertainment business and whatever else ventures that he wants to get into. But still, you know, people don't go around saying that they're the greatest of all time, especially when they might be very often. But nonetheless, he said that. And so we had Danny Ainge on. And Kevin McHale had come out and said that he thought that that was disrespectful to, you know, players who could also be considered the best of all time. And Danny Ainge said this, and I'm just as confused as you guys are. This is what Danny Ainge said, uncut.
An interesting quote was flown out into the universe last week where LeBron James has this TV show, which is apparently called the Look at How Great I Am show. It's I don't even know where you see it. I think it's online at ESPN. You got to pay for it. But he came out and said that when he won the ring against Golden State, and it was where, you know, when Draymond Green was suspended for the two games during the finals, he said it was after that win that he felt that he had become the greatest player of all time. Now, your teammate Kevin McHale has spoken out and said that he found that insulting to players like Bill Russell, Kareem, Michael Jordan, even Larry Bird, to name a few. What do you think of that comment of LeBron naming himself the greatest of all time?
Well, you know, listen, I think obviously LeBron is in every conversation with who is the greatest player of all time. And there's, you know, a handful of guys that are in those conversations that are considered to be the greatest, like those ones that Kevin just mentioned. And, you know, like his career is not over. I'd just like to, you know, why he's saying that, I don't know. You know, maybe he thinks that that sells. Maybe he's taking the Donald Trump approach and trying to sell himself. I don't know. But, you know, time will tell. I think history, I don't even know if anybody knows who the greatest of all time is because the years are so different.
Okay, if LeBron stopped playing today, is he a better player than Larry Bird was?
All right. Okay, and then he goes on to say no. All right, so there you go. You know, LeBron is trying to market himself, and he's marketing himself by saying he's the greatest. And you can't argue that he's marketing himself, Rich, because this was not in an interview, a post-game interview. This was something that he put up on the internet.
Yeah.
It was under his creative control.
Yeah, he made this. The reason for this to be out there was to get his message out there that he's the greatest.
And then, fine, okay, then he's the greatest. People were like, well, how can you compare him to Trump? And then we said this.
Nobody's stronger than me.
There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do.
There's nobody that understands the horror
of nuclear better than me.
Trump steaks are by far the best tasting, most flavorful beef you've ever had.
Okay, so.
All right, so one man has become the president of the effing United States, and there's literally no argument that he is self-aggrandized, and it worked. Fine. LeBron James has produced something where he says that he's the greatest and he is building a brand. Facts. Now, logically, you would go, well, one guy is the president of the United States. He's been very successful with this method. Mm-hmm. And the other person is a guy who makes millions upon millions of dollars in endorsements and has these after-career plans that he's been very successful getting. And he is using a similar tactic in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the internet had so many possibilities. It was going to have all the knowledge in the world put into it. It was going to be open for dialogue.
We can stay connected with our friends. Yes, years past.
And you know, the guys who invented it were like all about this is going to change the world for the better, and we can break down walls. Or we can be involved with, you know, our people that we normally don't talk to, like North Korea and things. People could share ideas. But this is what it's devolved into. And I'm only using this woman as a first of all, this took off.
Yeah, it's like honestly, almost every sports publication, major newspapers, I mean, all the New York papers, USA Today, everyone picked up this story. Now, in fairness, when people wrote the story, they just took the headline, Danny Ainge compares LeBron James to Donald Trump, and then they put the quote in there, didn't give us credit, and then they ended up saying that this is what happened.
Right, so the idea...
No editorial on it.
Right. Yeah. The idea was, Trump, LeBron James, you click it, we get the credit, good day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the... It's not...
I understand that.
I absolutely understand that. I don't know why Danny Ainge is this, like... anyone cares.
Now, they might have had a picture of Danny Ainge making a menacing face in black and white.
Right.
And LeBron James looking very upset, as if he just heard that quote and is wildly disturbed by the things that were just told to him.
I'm using this woman as a barometer of what people are thinking, even though not a lot of people share her opinion.
Yeah.
But... her name is Karen Hunter, and I'm sure she's an excellent broadcaster. She is on satellite radio, and she makes the point. Danny Ainge, unlike Trump, 5 deferments, 6 bankruptcies, a couple divorces. King James is a real champion. NBA titles with 2 teams, programs that help people build businesses, a school, 1 wife with children. He actually parents. You look crazy with that comparison.
You didn't read the article.
Did not read the article.
Not at all.
They were not. The audio?
He was not comparing the gentleman's characters or what they've done in life. He was simply stating the fact that both of them used a similar tactic.
Yeah.
Words.
Yep. Yep.
About themselves.
Yep.
Being the best.
Mm-hmm.
To build brands.
Yeah.
Both, it worked.
But instead, there's something that's inside of these people. They log on the internet. They go, what shall I be offended by today? Can I be the righteous one to retweet it? And this point at you and your racist nonsense.
I don't even want to put this in that category. Because there's pearl clutching and white knighting all over the internet. This is not even, there's not another side of the coin. There's not another opinion to be had.
Well, according to this guy from the Globe, he says Danny Ainge comparing Braun to Trump is very simply not okay.
Okay, stop. It is.
There's
no gray area. This is not defending a joke. This is not saying people lighten up. This is not saying everyone can have their opinion. Mm-hmm. He stated an innocuous fact.
He says, quote, funny, this is from Owen Pence, a guy who says he writes for the Globe. He says, funniest thing about Ainge's comment is that Rich Paul represents Anthony Davis. If you think veiled racism from higher ups doesn't impact player free agency decisions, well.
Wait. Okay.
So this is going to keep Anthony Davis down here, too.
I can't figure out. I honestly, last night, I'm not going to yell again, I think. Last night, I couldn't figure out what he said that anyone would care about. And then when Rich and our program director told me, I went, well, why would we even talk about it? Like, Like, who cares? It's a fact. It's logic. I mean, it just is.
And he says, black athlete who has done unimaginable amounts of good for his community.
No one said he didn't.
It has legitimate GOAT claim.
Okay.
Engages in self-praise. Ainge compares said act to the behavior of the current president of the United States. It's really not that complicated, folks. And then he goes on and says, by the way, he's getting into a little bit of a fight with our own Ty Anderson, which I thought was kind of funny. He said, guys, the point isn't about an actual GOAT debate. Of course, Ainge thinks LeBron is better than Bird. He has eyes, after all. This is about the institutional racism and how it manifests through the NBA's power dynamics.
All right, fine. Ooh. The NBA has a racist power dynamic. Great. Okay, again, praising yourself as a marketing tool. Praising yourself as a marketing tool.
Yes.
Say the NBA is the most racist thing in the world. This argument has absolutely nothing to do with it. It's two proven points. And what's lost in... I don't know. I don't even want to talk about racism because it's not... It just has nothing in at all. At all. It's concrete. There's no... Nothing. There's nothing controversial about that statement. Nothing. I understand. There's things you can pick apart. There's things that, you know, this is not clutching pearls or white knighting. This is not, you know, picking out and calling people out for something. This is idiotic. Right. This is nothing.
By the way, somebody just tweeted, analogies are out in 2019. We're done. No analogies.
Okay, so the president sucks. He's the president. He won the presidency. LeBron James, great. Fine. He called himself the greatest, and he's marketing himself. There's no subtext to that. You heard the audio.
There's
literally no subtext to that. That's all it is. What are you doing? How are you writing?
I am trying to figure out, like, this guy writes for the Globe?
No, sort of. I looked at his Twitter account, sort of.
Who cares who he is?
Yeah.
I don't care if he's the editor.
Danny H. trying to compare a black man who is 99.99% of his work to a buffoon whose hand is excessive wealth due to a rich daddy is Ainge being low-key racist.
Oh, my God.
Now, once again, none of the papers and people who seem to have a pretty decent head on their shoulders are saying anything remotely.
The people that she appeals to based on looking what her Twitter feed are people that, you know, are very open-minded and things of that nature. But even they're saying, like,
what are you doing?
Did you read anything?
Well, once again, and I said this earlier, this just goes back to we will take what we want from a quote and we will move it around to our advantage to make us look like we are pure and we are the ones who are righteous, and everyone else is wrong.
No, this is not a case of that, because there has to be some kind of question in the language.
No,
there has to be.
They don't even read the quote to question it.
But the quote is not even, the headline's nothing. There's nothing.
Well, the headline was Ainge compares LeBron to Trump.
Okay, fair enough. Then you click
right
on it.
And all they did was go, oh, how dare you, schools, he's open. But like, and no one ever clicks the article. No one ever reads anything.
I don't want to, because this is.
And now we're not getting Anthony Davis, and that pisses me off more than anything.
There's no nuance to his comment. There's none. There's no nuance. You can't invent the nuance to the comment. None. It just is.
Okay.
Trump's the worst person in the world. LeBron James is the best person in the world. LeBron James is the worst person in the world. Trump's the best person in the world. It has no factor in the comment. It has none. He's not comparing characters. He's not comparing achievements. He's simply saying that both of them have said that they're the best. and both of them have made high achievements.
I can't tell if this one's joking or like 100% serious. It blanked Danny Ainge and all the Celtics. This dude signed Gordon Hayward and his boys with Kevin McHale.
Yeah, that's got to be a joke.
That has to be a joke. That one has to be a joke.
Well, fair enough. So enjoy reading that garbage.
and it just went on a bunch of websites that I know we're going to hear a little bit about. If they only plugged us. Thank you for everyone out there who didn't plug the Touch and Rich show, where you could have easily clicked on it and heard the audio for yourself. And you could have been like, oh, okay, this is something that is nothing.
Yeah, innocuous. That's good.
It just is. Again, it's not defending a comedian. It's not defending anyone's comments. It is just a fact. A fact. And anything you take out of it is not true. It's a fact. Very good. All right, so we'll return.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Gorman along with Tom Hines, and welcome back to our coverage of Boston Celtic basketball.
Tonight, Gorman was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Come on. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, Toucher and Rich should have blasted myself. Same old jokes, even worse than his friend. Man, don't know dick. Makes me wish I was dead. Wallach and Rich trying hard to be funny. Can't believe those two getting money. Sucking up to guess who the hell cares. Just shoot me now. Throw me down the stairs. Sitting at the mic trying to sound real big. How'd these boys ever land this gig? Every day it's the same old baloney. Judge must have been on something to give him a Marconi. Just gets worse as the day goes on. Felger and Mads. Brain-numbing egothon. Gotta start making changes. Would you rather Zoe and Beetle or two distant strangers? Come on, Tommy Heinsohn, what you think of this?
Are you kidding? That's ridiculous.
You gotta take it from T, your brother close to me.
Puckhead.
And that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Come on.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, tell him, T, tell him.
That's just the way it is.
Don't hold back, T, give it your all.
Are you kidding me?
Mike G and the T, out.
Take that, 98 mile.
I tell you, I took a look at Baines in the shower. He looks like all of Australia. He is really put together. Look at this.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And that was obviously Mike Gorman and Tommy Heinsohn.
Mm-hmm. I kind of get chills listening to that. When Tommy Heinsohn comes on, it's like, all right, next level.
The best thing about that is when Gorman called Tommy Heinsohn and there was like a movie from the 20s on
it. It really was great because it was like, hey, Tommy, and you hear like, oh, I don't know. They called it, they called him Honcho or something like that.
It's like
one of the talkies, you know, where they played the piano and they
played like ragtime.
Yeah, right.
It's like ragtime in the background.
So this is, we had Mike Gorman on yesterday, and I hate to do it like every week or every other week, but, you know, Tommy Heinsohn has been missing for a lot of these broadcasts, and a lot of people have been, you know, they're worried about him. They wanted to make sure he was okay. And so we try to ask, but not overdo it. Listen, how's Tommy doing? And yesterday we had Mike Gorman on. And, you know, rightfully he said, you know, I don't want to speak on the health of somebody else, obviously. And he said, but just know that, you know, Tommy's been a little bit sick and, you know, hopefully he's getting better. He had mentioned that on tonight's broadcast he was going to call in, I think he told us. And now Chris Forsberg, who's a good friend of ours, who now works for NBC Sports Boston.
I mean, I never met him. But
well, I mean, we've had him on the show a bunch.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call him a good friend.
You've never met Chris Forsberg?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, he's a good guy. And
does he go over to your house when I'm not around?
No. I'm just running to him at games, because that's where I am. I'm with the people twice a year. So he did write an article this morning. It just came out a couple minutes ago, and it's an update on Tommy Heinsohn, and where he actually talked to Tommy. And Tommy is just as Tommy as ever. So it says, Boston Celtics' Tommy Heinsohn, sidelined from NBC Sports Boston game broadcast in late November while combating what his doctors believe might be a sleep disorder, will return to the airwaves Friday night when he phones in during the second quarter of Boston's game against the Mavericks. So he's going to be calling in during the broadcast. That seems interesting. So the 84-year-old Heinsohn is set to be discharged from a local inpatient rehab facility on Saturday and his doctors have targeted sleep apnea as the likely cause of the health woes.
He's got to get that CPAP, lick the tea.
Well, let's get into that. They said that, quote, I don't want to speak like I'm the old time, but I was nursing it for quite a while. Then it really started to where I couldn't get to the games. He said, but I'm rehabbing it now, and they've ruled out all the big concerns. My heart is real strong. My lungs are clear. Nothing wrong with my stomach, and we're down to perhaps sleep apnea. I got to go through the tests. They put a mask on me down at the rehab. He said, Heinsohn plans to sleep some time at the sleep center after leaving rehab. He's uncertain when exactly he'll be back at the TD Garden for broadcasts. They said, asked about the early trials with a sleep mask to combat the apnea. Heinsohn let out his familiar cackle, but said he's seen immediate results. The mask has stopped me from waking up four times a night. I'm feeling refreshed in the morning.
Like he doesn't have to pee 5,000 times a night.
I thought that just started, like, you know, naturally when you were, like, you know.
He might have sleep apnea, but Tommy, no one's buying it. Listen, that you're not getting up four times a night.
Don't tell me stuff's not getting stuck in the chamber. That happens to all of us after, like, at a certain age.
But you're 85. You got to get up 7,000 times a night.
He said, the day before Christmas, my granddaughter gave me one of those watches, the Knit Fit, or whatever they call them. Whatever the hell they call them.
Do you ever pee?
A Knit Fit.
Do you ever pee and then turn around and have to go back and pee more?
Of course. Yeah, we've all done that.
Okay, I thought I had something wrong with
No.
This time you're with some people.
You're like, what are you doing? Why are you playing this ridiculous magic trick with me, bladder?
Yeah, exactly.
I literally emptied you.
Yep. Yeah, that's okay, good. I feel better now.
So he goes, my grandfather gave me one of those watches with the Knit Fit or whatever the hell they call them. She gave it to me, and then the next day she was going to tie it into my iPad, and I found that she tracked my sleep from the night before, okay? I slept 2 hours and 7 minutes, and I thought I had slept eight hours.
The Fitbit. Can't go by the Fitbit. It's not.
It's a Knit Fit, Fred.
The Knit Fit, because it's very unscientific the way they do that. Heinsohn's got to get the sleep study, which it sounds like he's getting.
He said, Heinsohn, his energy sapped, initially sought treatment at the New England Baptist Hospital, and a battery of tests ruled out more serious concerns. He moved over to New England Rehab in Woburn and gushed about the way the staff has got him moving again. I feel like I've been at Red Auerbach's training camp, for Christ's sake, said Heinsohn. I put my foot on the floor out of the bed, and every muscle in my body is aching now from doing exercises. They got me walking around this place, which is pretty good right now. That part is working. He said Heinsohn is touched by the outpouring of support from fans who have noted his absence from broadcasts. He's excited to chat with his broadcast partner of 37 years, Mike Gorman, during Friday's telecast. And he's got a month's worth of basketball opinions and stories to deliver. It's not that I've been hiding, said Heinsohn. I've been watching all the games. And then it goes further on into it. So God bless Tommy Heinsohn. It sounds like he is the same old Tommy. And we'll be back on the phone, which should be an interesting experiment until hopefully he'll be able to come back.
Yeah.
They're going to get him the old headset, the old My Prerogative headset, so he doesn't have to hold it in his hand.
He's not going to be able to figure that out.
I was going to say, they're going to have to send a squadron of producers over there.
All right. Andy, I'm being told by a bird to take Andy. Andy, go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, Andy?
Hey, Wallach is just like, you know, coasting through this show. Like, you know what? I kind of can't take it, you know?
What's the problem?
Like, what's he doing?
I mean, like, you know, he just thinks that, like, he's, like, a sparrow. But you know what? You know what? He's an eagle. Holla.
Okay. See, wouldn't the eagle be better than a sparrow?
I've been told many times not to step on a Fred rant, and there have been two golden ones today, so I just kind of got out of the way there.
Oh, well, I forgot to tell you, during your second Fred rant, I started laughing because I got a text on my phone just randomly out of nowhere. You want to read it, Fred? Except you'll have to edit the first word.
Yes, I was asleep.
Brandon Merriweather has finally texted me back.
Oh, hey. I woke up and I had a big beer.
After he was, like, an hour after he was supposed to be out.
Tigger.
Yeah, so I don't know what was going on, but he was apparently asleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't
catch my 40 wings.
You want to text him back, see if we can't get him on now?
No,
we can't do it now. We can't blow it now. Okay. And we don't want to do it Monday because that's when we got Troy Brown. We had tons of interviews on Monday.
Yeah.
So maybe
Patrice Bergeron's going to be on a Monday as well.
Bergeron's going to be on as well, making, I'm sure, some sort of announcement. but then, I guess, Tuesday?
All right.
Yeah, Tuesday be good.
Yeah.
You know, get him on here and...
You think maybe... Sleep. I was sleep.
I was sleep. Blank, I was sleep.
Who's the man that fell asleep under the tree?
Rip Van Winkle.
That's Rip Van Winkle.
Okay. Right, well. Hopefully you're wide awake now and we can... I should text him back. How long will it take? This is a game. How long will it take for Brandon Barrow to text me back? He texted me literally 15 minutes ago.
Oh, at least another day.
Before the
end? Yes, I just know.
Okay.
Yes, I went. I was pooped.
You were pooped.
I was too pooped to pop.
Okay. Right. Can we do Tuesday at 8? 8, right? It's good? All right.
I had my sleep mask on. I can't see nothing. I need it.
I got faith he's going to get back to us.
I was asleep. Mm-hmm. I need to get my rest. All right, Rich, what will we be talking about?
Oh, you will actually be surprised at the top-selling jerseys in the NFL for this past season. On top of that, we got some more reports having to do with some more coaching updates with Josh McDaniels, Brian Flores, and all the other big rotating chairs.
Good, he'll accept the job. We just learned from Burt Breer, by the way, that I didn't know this, that he essentially had taken the San Francisco job 2 years ago and was actually talking about his office in the video room and all this stuff, and then turned around and didn't take it. He stayed up till 4 in the morning.
So that's twice he's left the bride at the altar.
Yep, because he's a coward.
Well, he's just as good. Yeah, he's gun shy. I mean,
he's a coward. He didn't take an opportunity. I mean, if life gives you a rare opportunity where there's only 32 of them in the world.
No, it's obviously not that rare. He keeps getting offered.
Yeah, and he keeps turning it down, so it's pretty rare. I mean, not everyone gets to be a head coach. I mean,
every year he's offered the head coach.
Right, and he doesn't take it because he's a coward. I mean, there's never going to be a perfect situation.
Yeah, there's a finite window. I mean, the window will close eventually, and it's going to be sooner rather than later for all of this.
He's got to take a gig while he's coaching Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, exactly. And by the way, John, you know, teams that fire their coaches aren't perfect situations in any way, shape,
no,
or form.
No, I'm agreeing with you
No,
here.
I know. That's what I'm just stating a fact.
If McDaniels goes to another round, turns everyone down, and goes back to work for the Patriots again, even if he gets close to one or not, I mean, I would think the Packers' job is as close to perfect as it gets on the surface of things. You can talk about whether or not he'll get along with Aaron Rodgers, and Burt Breer made a very passionate argument about, you know, having to challenge Rodgers every day and how that makes the job more difficult. Whatever. I mean, you have job security locked in, 5 prime years of Aaron Rodgers left, and an ownership that moves like a glacier to fire guys.
I don't think that he has 5 years, and I think that that's not the best job that's available because the Bears are going to dominate that division for a while. Their defense is insane. All right, here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and we're on Twitch every morning. Visit twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub to watch the show live, or you can get the app, the Twitch app, and search the Sports Hub. A lot of we're live on it, and that's a visual and audio, obviously. And then there's also stuff from Felger and Maz and various other programs up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can see the beautiful bird in the bird box that we did yesterday.
Which, by the way, was better than I thought it was going to be. I had people actually telling me about the bird box.
Yeah.
See, sometimes, you know, you make...
You put bird in there and it's going to be all
right. That's right. I just make chicken salad out of chicken plank. So there you go. Well, the top-selling jerseys in the NFL have been released for the past season. And number one is a shocker. The rest of them kind of make sense. Any guess as to what would make the top 5 best-selling jerseys of this season?
The kid from Kansas City...
Patrick Mahomes is a great guest. That comes in at number 3.
All right. Okay. One is shocking.
Number one to me is extremely shocking.
Is it Ezekiel Elliott?
Ezekiel Elliott's number 4.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley number 5. You guys are doing very, very well.
Thank you. All right.
Because the first thing I think, and you guys seem to be on the right track here, is new players, or maybe even players that switch teams.
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack is number two. So you guys got five, four, three, and two. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of where we're going. Number 10 was Juju Smith-Schuster. Number 9, Dak Prescott. Number 8, Carson Wentz. Okay. Number 7, Baker Mayfield, Fred.
Boom.
A little bit dangerous. Number 6 and number 1 are the Shockers.
All right, so it's someone who changed teams.
No. It is not someone who changed teams. This is why it's a shocker. Because it's not someone who changed teams, and it's not someone who is a rookie.
Tom Brady.
Number one. Who doesn't have a Tom Brady jersey by now?
I know. If you're going to buy a Tom Brady jersey.
Number one. Beating all those other guys. Patrick Mahomes. Saquon Barkley. That's the New York market right there,
Who's
too.
Who's sixth?
Six is Drew Brees.
Okay.
So Drew Brees, another one. Like, if you're a fan of either Tom Brady or Drew Brees, don't you already have those jerseys?
I don't understand how... Some random people in Iowa is like, hey, I got to get one.
I guess maybe
they're not selling jerseys. And it's just, it's like, you know, you're just picking at a very small audience.
I don't know, but there you go. So Tom Brady tops the list. He is in first. All right, so this story's coming out this morning. We all know what happened with Kevin Hart. So Kevin Hart was originally scheduled to host the Oscars this upcoming year, and there was an old tape of him making jokes that many people deemed homophobic, and there was a call to action, much like people on Twitter did with Danny Ainge going, ah!
Don't compare the two.
you're right. You can't compare the two. No. But it was anger on the internet.
One is a matter of opinion, and the other one is straight facts.
That's correct. So, they went after Kevin Hart, and Kevin Hart released something saying, listen, I'm not homophobic at all. These are things from years upon years ago. I've apologized for the past. I'm not going to apologize again, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, you know what? I don't need this anymore. And he said, I'm not going to host.
And neither would I. For anything, I would not host the what's the payoff? Honestly.
Well.
Like Seth MacFarlane did it. Is that why Ted was a hit? I mean, what does it do for you? It doesn't do anything. When Letterman did it, it was atrocious.
Didn't Neil Patrick Harris do it one year?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Probably.
I know he's
done
the Tony
Awards.
Yeah, I thought he did the Oscars too. I could be wrong.
Listen to me pretending like I didn't instantly know who hosted the Tonys last year.
Well, LL Cool J does the Grammys every year, so they can't get anyone to do that. So, LL Cool J.
But
LL Cool J sucked when he was good.
Can't argue with that.
Mama's a Knockout is an okay song. Like, that still stands up. That's an okay song.
But if you go back and listen to the lyrics.
I need love.
Yeah.
Around the Way Girl? That wasn't good?
No. Rock the Bells is a good song.
It's time. It was early in the evolution of hip-hop.
Well, Kevin Hart is now saying he's going to reevaluate his decision to step down.
Don't do it.
As the host of the Oscars after having a, quote, raw/honest interview with Ellen DeGeneres, who reached out.
Which is where you go.
Yeah, that's right. As a matter of fact, she reached out to the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences, the people who make the decision, on his behalf. So he did an interview with Ellen DeGeneres, and it's going to air today, where he said he doesn't have a homophobic bone in his body, and he claimed he'd apologize in the past, and then he said that he refused to apologize because it would provide more fodder for his critics.
Here's the deal, is that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the religious right controlled what you could say.
The PMRC? Is that what you're talking about?
So here's everything you need to know about comedy. Is that and things evolve, and you have to evolve with it. There's no question about it. It's not a problem. But back when I got my morning show in Atlanta, you couldn't talk about sex. You had to watch your language a lot, and that was the two basic parameters. And you couldn't talk about going to the bathroom. Now, since the left is kind of controlling speech now, you can't talk about race or gender or sexual preference. Now, all that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, would not get you in trouble. But things have evolved, and now that will get you in trouble. It is unfair to go back and look at someone's act from 15 years ago, because the rules have changed.
How about people
which is
change?
Fine.
How about even...
I know.
Didn't believe that. How about, like, people change?
Right.
Like, maybe you said something like, you know what? I was being a dick. And then your whole philosophy changes, and maybe there's certain things that you've learned in life that you didn't know back
that's
then.
That's what I'm saying.
To hold that against you forever...
But what's acceptable socially
and what's considered offensive evolves. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's not. I'm not complaining about it. But what I am saying is that if you take someone's act from 15 years ago and you do it now, like say you took like Don Rickles or something, like when he was on the Tonight Show.
Oh my God.
And had Carson like doubled over with laughter.
Sure, sure.
And there was, you know, 100 million people watching.
Well, Rickles couldn't work today.
No.
He couldn't. He
not
couldn't
a
do that.
He can work a room in Vegas. And I mean, what are you
going
to do?
Dean Martin couldn't work today.
Well, the Rat Pack, the way they treated Sammy Davis Jr. And the jokes they made at his expense,
yeah,
wouldn't have flied anyway. They never would have flied. But so my point is that, and I'm not complaining, but what offends people at one era and what offends people in another era are completely different. So it's not fair.
However, Ellen DeGeneres actually makes a decent point here. She says, they're going to win if you don't host the Oscars, referring to the trolls online. She said, you can't let them destroy you, and they can't destroy you because you have too much talent. She said, that's why the Academy haven't found another host. I think they were secretly hoping that you would come back. DeGeneres said that she called the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences to ask if Hart would be allowed to host this year's Oscar ceremony if he reversed his decision to step down. They were like, oh, my God, we want him to host. Whatever we can do, we would be thrilled,
no.
And he should host the Oscars.
No, good. No, they don't win if you don't do it. No, if you don't do it, go find – it's public that you didn't want me to do it based on stuff that happened 15 years ago. In my opinion, that makes you look like a-holes. Who are you going to get to host? You want to have Franco do it again? Like who are you going to get to host? Like Jeffrey Ross?
I think they were going to have – I honestly think their plan was to not announce who a host was, and they would have different presenters for each award.
Good.
There would just be
no – When was the last time that happened?
There was an award show that did it recently, and I forget which one it was.
No, but the Oscars specifically, they have done it.
Yeah,
but they did it a long time
ago. The NHL Awards.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
They couldn't get that magician from Canada that they used that one year.
I would – if I was him, there's no way I would do it, and I'd go – I'm sorry, I'm doing three nights at Madison Square Garden. I can't do your stupid broadcast. And then see what they put up there. Remember when they had James Franco and Anne Hathaway?
Yeah, that was...
That was a disaster.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
That's right.
I remember that. But I mean...
Yeah, get Dave Coulier to do it. He won't offend anybody.
You're Kevin Hart, and you actually also care about your career. Don't you think having this moment where you say, you know what, Ellen, you're right, and going back and doing it wouldn't be massive for him?
What more do I need if I'm him? I'm a movie star,
but
I can sell out arenas. I mean, there's nothing I need.
But isn't that kind of cool? But isn't that better for the greater good, where you had these internet trolls try to take you down for something you did years ago, and then you end up still being able to host and be embraced?
No, because
I think that's actually very healthy.
It's the Academy's fault.
No, the Academy never fired him.
I know,
he stepped down.
But this regardless, I just would be like, who wants to deal with
it? I think it's a great thing, and I think it teaches. You know what? Sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes taking things from the past and trying to have it come out and haunt you, you know what? It didn't affect on the biggest stage the host to be able to go up and still present.
But
I think I think it's a good thing.
I'd work blue as hell. And I'd say... And
the
I'd
first
say,
show, hey, any gays out there?
No, you couldn't do that.
Let's talk about gay people.
No, you can't do that, but you better have a dump button ready because I'm doing my act. I'm doing my act. That's exactly what I'd say to him. My 10-minute monologue is going to be my act.
It's going to be when Martin Lawrence went on SNL.
Yep.
And did his opening thing, and it was never asked back because of his monologue.
Yeah, he's not allowed back on it.
Yep.
And by the way, his monologue was funny.
Oh, you see, I didn't think it was funny. I thought it was, like, really weird.
I love Martin Lawrence.
Right, I do, too. It was the biscuit one, right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
All right. It was funny just because you knew Lorne Michaels was turning white in the background.
Yeah. At the time, I didn't quite know what was happening.
All right. We'll.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.